Hi, over here. This is sugar-free Mario Vanger, the Rocky Mountain Pro Champion, and you're listening to the Tapped Out Podcast.
Good evening. This is Myron from the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast. Tonight, I am joined by Mario Vanger, sugar-free Mario Vanger from Rocky Mountain Pro. How are you doing tonight, Mario?
Hey, Mara, thanks for having me on again on this show.
Oh, it's awesome.
Doing fantastic.
Awesome.
How are you doing?
Doing good. You still got the title?
Yep, I still have it.
So, you've got quite a program working. I have been watching the Fight Network and catching up. Seriously, that's one of my favorite ways to watch wrestling because you can just click on your computer. You can cast it to your TV if you've got a Chromecast. It's just so easy.
Yeah.
You've got a great program there. Production is always great with Rocky Mountain Pro. You had a big tag match in that episode two.
Yes, yeah, season two is out. Episode two. It was Titus Machiavelli put me together with Stephen Ashburn. So that was we had a little tag match. But
versus the champions.
Yeah.
So we had every male title in the ring at once.
Correct. You're right. I didn't really think about that. You're right. Yeah. What? I don't think it was a title match, though.
No.
No. Yeah, it wasn't.
And basically, Stephen Ashburn, I don't want to spoil episode two, but Stephen kind of left you in the lurch, and you managed to pull out in a handicap match.
Correct. Yeah. Like, he just left, and
That was
the tag team champions took advantage. Humphrey Jacobs and Curtis Cole, but then Humphrey Jacobs is being a little bit bitter towards Curtis Cole lately.
Mm.
He's like a sour horse, as I call it. So that's where I got lucky, took advantage, you know. So see where the story goes.
Yeah, and then you get the. You get the big match with Stephen Ashburn. He is the charge title holder?
Correct.
Mm.
He's been the charge, trying to think for how long. I think he beat, well, he didn't beat anybody. He just got lucky with the DQ. He won the title, I believe.
Yeah, I remember that. I was looking to. Yeah. A lot of cliffhangers from episode one is starting to work itself out. Season one, into season two. How does the seasonal wrestling schedule work with you? Or is it good? Is it are you able to have like a little bit of an off season in there?
I mean, you call season one like seasons, like the episodes, but like there's no off season basically. No matter what, if we still have shows, I wrestle. Like, I travel a little bit, wrestle here and there. And, like, even when we don't, for Rocky Mountain Pro, if we don't do a season, there's still house shows going on.
Okay.
Like, on average, every 2 weeks. But then between, I wrestle some more. So, yeah, there's no real off season.
Oh, wow. So you have those rack house pub shows?
Yeah, those are fun, yeah.
Everybody that I've talked to that wrestles in those shows says they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, because you can just let loose, and it's a 21 overall audience, so you can get a little bit language-wise and everything you do, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, some more attitude-type stuff.
More intense. Yeah, more attitude era. But they're fun. People are drinking beer. It's a big brewery, and it's a trendy part of town. It's called Rhino.
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, they have a lot of breweries, so this one, Rackhouse, is pretty big, and I don't know. I feel like as soon as you combine like beer and food and some live action like wrestling, it's always a good time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely sounds like that.
For the audience. You know? I don't drink, but it's fun for me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So
there's
yeah,
some local
those.
Shows around here that are running bar shows, and they have the same concept. It's a little bit more grown up than their typical Saturday night product, and they lay it out. I don't have any inside information or anything about what's going on, but it seems to me, as someone who's watched wrestling pretty much since he was in diapers, that you and Stephen Ashburn have a big feud brewing now.
Yeah, like, I know. I think it goes back since I got to Rocky Mountain Pro, like, it was probably around 3 years now.
Uh-huh.
And he was the top guy there, basically. And he always had his eye on me, and he just, now we're like, now I'm the champion, and I'm sure there's some envy going on. And he, as you know, like, he's a loose cannon when he gets in his head. Like, yeah, like, I feel like there's a lot of tension. So, and especially now, what happened, the last match we had on season two.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm.
You know, Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior had a match where it was title versus title, but the championship,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, you've got your two big names, your two big title holders going to collide.
Yeah, correct.
Maybe somebody might unify the title. I mean, you might have two belts.
it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen and Stephen Ashburn, he was the longest reigning Rocky Mountain Pro champion.
Uh-huh.
Back when it was NRW.
Uh-huh.
It was like 2 years ago.
Yeah. So he had the belt for quite some time. He's had the tag team belts. I know he's the only Triple Crown champion.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's a pretty good achievement right there.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like him. Tyler Stinson has had his outs with him.
Correct.
He's apparently not a very popular guy in the locker room.
Stephen Ashburn, he's kind of almost a bully to the new trainees that come in. Uh-huh. He always, like, he's kind of the bully type, loose cannon sometimes. Sometimes he's calm. Sometimes he just, like, gets in his head and just snaps, like, from 0 to 100 out of nowhere.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's a dangerous part about him being in the ring, but...
Mm-hmm.
As you saw, I don't know if you did you see the end of episode 2?
You got that quick on Humphrey, that quick roll up on Humphrey at the end of the first match, and then turn back around and beat Steven in the second match. Two matches on one card. That's a lot, man. That's a lot.
I know. Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I figured out or saw that, like, I'm actually two matches.
Yeah.
I mean, to have two matches in one night.
Well, that's
luckily the first one I didn't took too much, like, torture and bruises, so, like, it was a quick one.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you being in tip-top shape has just got to be a great asset.
Correct, yeah. Got to be in good shape and just trying to stay healthy.
Yeah. So you can probably outlast some of those guys that don't have the commitment in the gym like you do, or the exercise routine.
Correct. Yeah, it's just it's simple. The more you work you put in, the better you get, the better you can last.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And the constant training y'all are able to do there at the school, at the Mercury Yadin's wrestling school, that's got to be a huge asset.
Correct. Yeah, you have couple of good coaches, and everybody brings something to the table, and just a good environment.
Yeah.
The school is getting pretty big, like, on getting new, like, we call them white shirts, because they get a white shirt on the beginning, and they're like, there's so many of them, so we'll try to see who has the most potential to make it for the next season, maybe, or this season. I don't know. We'll see.
We were out last Saturday night. Me and Nick and my son were at APCW, which is Hall of Famer Robert Gibson of the Midnight Express's school show.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Every time I've talked to a guy from there, it really reminds me of y'all, because everybody that trains and works out, they have this positive attitude about what the picture is and what they're doing, and they love the people they work with, and that's something I said, God, y'all, when y'all say stuff like this, it reminds me of all the guys I've talked to from Rocky Mountain Pro.
Yeah.
Because every one of y'all have had the same attitude about it.
Yeah, correct.
Y'all,
I mean, it's just positivity. Like, a positive environment just leads you to good things. If it's like there's some negativity, you know, something gonna happen bad, you know?
Definitely. And you got that big, big show coming up, the Milestone, man.
Milestone 7, yeah.
Nick,
that's the third milestone for me.
Nick is getting to go. My vacation to that I put in for to go to Milestone with Nick was turned down by my work, and I have been heartbroken ever since because I really wanted to see this. Because, you know, you get, like, I'm not going to say personally involved, but when you watch the indie promotions and the smaller shows, you get more of an emotional connection. And you talk to the guys, and you want to go see them, and you appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you go to a WWE show, everybody loves the WWE, blah, 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 blah. But you don't feel that bond with indie shows. And when they turned down my vacation, I was like, no, I want to go to Colorado with Nick.
I know, and it's a Saturday, so you try to fly out, like, what? Thursday, Friday.
I was going to try, whatever it took, I was going to try to get out there to it. And we're short staffed in the company. Yeah. It's one of those things, but man.
And Nick is coming though?
Nick is coming. I don't know if he's going to have to sleep on Curtis Cole's couch or where he's going to get, but he's going to drive his car. He got a new car.
All the way from
Atlanta. I think he wanted me to go with him so I could help him drive, but he plans on driving all the way from Georgia he got the big decal on the back window, Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. And he is, you know, he's all he wants to do is talk about it. I'm like, you got to shut up, Nick. You're really making me jealous here.
So he's all about advertising, which is good.
Oh, well, so you know, the car becomes a tax write-off. This is a giant advertisement. So,
it's a win-win.
Yeah. So he's going to get to come out and see the show.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's going to be great, man. Y'all have the best, unity of a program, and you work together to get to a certain thing. After that match, after that first match where you're so angry and you went back in the back and you were just just that you have a small program, you have a show that's on the internet, but you manage to captivate the audiences, and you're able to work directly to the people, and that gets people to watch. Of all the stuff I've seen on the Fight Network, y'all are my favorites. I really like the freshness of the program. I really like seeing new stars and people who are coming up in the business and getting to where they want to be. Do you see yourself working in Japan, or do you see yourself working in the WWE like some of the other guys are going forward to?
I definitely do. Like Japan is amazing. Like Royce Isaacs, he's about to go to, I think, the second run, third run to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Japan. Yeah, like, I would love to, like, get to a level where I can, you know, go to Japan and, like, and just, you know, just wrestle everywhere, you know, make a name for myself.
Oh, yeah.
But, I appreciate the support and everything you said about, like, Rocky Mountain Pro. It's intriguing to watch and stuff. And just, like in today's society, I know, like, I'm trying to watch sometimes things like non-wrestling things to see what are they doing that they attract so many millions of people. Ooh. And at the end of the day, I feel like it's just pure entertainment, you know?
That's awesome. Like that's a good point.
That's why I feel like with wrestling, like, wrestling is great, but to hook an audience, the only way to hook them, you can only do it with entertainment. I don't think you can do it with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you hook him with the entertainment part, okay, they'll get along and get into the story of the.
You got to get that emotional connection.
Match.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got to get them to want to watch your program. I wrote a.
There's so many great shows out there. Like I don't have a TV, but like sometimes it's a friend's house, you know. Like
yeah.
Go through shows, and there's so many different shows, and I said, gosh, those are great shows. Like the way they write them and the way they entertain. Like just entertaining, you know. So now I know why, like, there's so many big shows out there, and millions of people are watching them, you know.
Oh, so you try to find out what works on other programs and see how you can adapt it to wrestling and what y'all were doing.
Yeah, we always need to adapt, I feel like.
That's really smart. That's really smart, because if you don't adapt, you get stuck in the mud and somebody goes past you.
Yeah, and I feel like we get so easy stuck in a bubble, too, you know? And then we can't really figure out what's going on and what are we doing wrong.
The drama and the emotion... like it was. I mean, it's very similar to the stuff Shakespeare wrote. It's anything people make an emotional contact with, the good, the bad, you know, the fight for justice, all that kind of stuff. If you can lure people in with that kind of storyline, and then they want to see the product, they want to get bonded with it, they want to understand what's going on and know the people. And we're in a reality TV world these days, so if you can connect on that level and get them to watch the program based on your reality TV type episode, have you got any insight on who it was that maybe attacked all those people that took out Matt Yaden and took out Vince Russo? You ain't got to tell me.
To be honest, even if I would know, I don't know, but I'm trying to think I don't really know.
That's the thing. I get to watching it. It's like, that's drama. Who attacked Titus Machiavelli?
Correct.
You know, some people
talk about those. Sorry.
No. You go ahead. Go ahead with that.
No, I was just trying to say those emotions are so intense.
Yeah.
And then from all that I've been to, those most of them, I've been to, basically the last 3 years. Emotional wise, there's so much emotion going on backstage, inside the arena. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It's good. It's captivating television. And,
you've got
a lot of input from Vince Russo. I know. I mean, that's a pretty big deal right there. He's quite the controversial figure at all times.
Correct,
But he's doing a really good job writing y'all's product.
I know he does. He definitely does. And as you said, who was laid out? It was Titus Machiavelli, Mercury Yaden, and
Russo.
Who else?
Russo was was taken out.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. That was a great ending. Yeah.
Oof! It was drama. Now, Russo has worked with this new guy, this filter guy.
Correct. Yeah, he started in the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy. I don't want to say when, but pretty recently. You know, maybe 6 to 8 months. I'm not sure. Maybe 6 months. I don't know. But I remember him coming in, and I said, "Gosh, he's tall. He's big. He looked great enough." But in the ring, the average person thinks it's so easy and conditioning wise, and he was a legit athlete, amateur wrestling stuff in college or in high school, but he was the first 5 minutes he was throwing up already in the ring.
That wrestling conditioning.
Yeah, but his head was right, and I kept telling him, keep going, and he can he's a beast now. He's a freakish huge athlete, but also getting better every day. He's training still at the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy. I can definitely see him being one of the future big stars.
Yeah, it's probably I'm gonna run into you and your championship, man. That's a big guy there.
Don't really wanna confront him yet, because I should, if I really have to wrestle him, then I have to need 2 months, so I can maybe gain another 10-15 pounds, so I can be a little bit more solid, just so I can adapt to my opponent. Because the last big athlete, who was strong as I call him, also strong as a horse and like a brick. Yeah, I actually wrestled him. That was my first milestone. It was milestone 5.
Uh-huh.
It was now in NXT, Otis Dozovich. One half of the heavy machinery.
Yeah, he's a big one.
Yeah,
he's a big one.
And he's Yeah, I remember I wrestled him. It was actually, I think, his first match. And he's like, I had to just try to gain weight just to look normal next to him, you know?
Well, I mean, when you say gain weight, you don't mean eat a bunch of candy bars and put on some weight. You mean gain some lean muscle mass.
Correct, yeah, like hide the calories on like some more proteins, some fats, some more carbs, you know?
Yeah. On a curious note, do you plan your meals out in advance? Do you pre-cook your stuff? Do you have stuff with you all the time, or how do you do it?
Yeah. After so many years, I used to prepare my meals but I always experiment too. Like I always want to try different things. And usually, but I still cook my food today. Like now I'm boiling. Actually, I gotta turn it off. A good reminder. Like, I'm gonna walk into the kitchen. I'm boiling some chicken and chicken breast and yams.
Uh huh.
So
that's a big old pot of chicken breast and yams. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So like, you get protein there. You get some carbs.
Carbs, yeah. Especially after working out, I like to eat a lot of carbs.
Yeah.
But like, good carbs. Like yams are perfect carbs. If you for my goal, what I'm doing, you know,
mm-hmm.
like everybody has different goals, so that's why I don't like when people say, "Oh, you say you eat carbs after working out." That doesn't mean everybody has to do that. Depends, you know.
Yeah, you have to kind of find out what works.
Yeah. Right now, I'm trying to stay lean, but like fill out my muscles more. That's why I try to eat more carbs after working out.
Okay, to replenish what you've done.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So that,
and especially in the evening, so I can like while I'm sleeping, like I have a better chance of regenerating faster and like filling up my muscles. So in the morning I look like full and lean, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Have you you've done extensive research on this sugar stuff, and you've worked your diet to about the perfect level. A lot of people are talking to me about like a Mediterranean diet, a lower sugar diet, or sugar-free diet, and they're all telling me that that's what I need because I'm a big guy, and also I have a lot of arthritis issues. I've got a rheumatoid disease called ankylosing spondylitis, and that tends to give me trouble moving. What would you now when you recover? You're basically recovering from working out inflammation. So you found those healthy carbs and yams to be the best thing for you.
Yeah, for my muscles. I mean, inflammation usually, like, if you want to have less inflammation, you just have to eat less processed food and less sugar.
Uh-huh. You know? Mm-hmm. And now, is that refined sugar or natural sugars, or when you want something sweet, what do you eat?
I mean, for me, I like sometimes I go without any sugar, like 6 to 8 months, maybe 10 months.
Uh-huh.
I usually then maybe I get like I try to if I use any sugar substitutes, I basically want to just stick to stevia.
Mm-hmm.
Because like sucralose and all those sweeteners that are bad too, they cause actually a lot of inflammation too.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't help. I mean, it would harm your arthritis even more.
So going with like a Diet Coke instead of a water is not a good decision.
correct, yeah. But you can make you can find like, gosh, not that I'm endorsed by anybody of that brand, but I think it's Zevia. It's like a soda, but it's only sweetened with stevia, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's more natural. And you can make your own lemonade too. You can just get fresh lemons and buy stevia and then mix it together. And
So that's what you would drink in place of a soda or something like that.
Yeah.
But also
like a dark 80-90% chocolate, with dipping it into some coffee, like that could really also get you cravings.
Oh, that's good, because I remember the last episode did with you. You were drinking coffee at the time. So when you prepare your coffee, what do you put in your coffee?
Depends what, like, usually I usually get the bulletproof coffee,
uh-huh.
which is like one couple of espresso shots, good strong coffee, Italian or something. Yeah. But I'll put in usually MCT oil or coconut oil is good, or grass-fed butter put in there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little bit of heavy cream and some stevia.
Okay. That's yeah. one thing I'll have to look into, because yeah. I got to have my coffee. I drink my coffee, and yeah. I get the cream and sugar, and that builds yeah. up before I know it. You know, that's a lot of extra calories I'm taking in right there.
Yeah, so, but, like, for your instance, let's say, I mean, I need to, like, I don't know, we need to spend more time talking about it, but, like, to see what's your goal with your nutrition and weight loss and yeah. health-wise, but like, for you, I feel like a ketogenic diet for a couple uh-huh. of weeks, and then maybe you do some carb nights
yeah.
after that, like, a ketogenic diet would probably benefit in a way where you can still have your coffee with the heavy cream,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Butter, so you want to eat a good amount of fats,
yeah,
and protein, but no carbs at all, you know. Fat. So you teach your body to use fat as an energy source, which means your body gonna have less inflammation. You're gonna feel better. Yeah. Like the ketogenic diet today, it's pretty mainstream now already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I've heard of it. Now, is that similar to what the Atkins diet is like, or is it more healthy than that?
It's definitely healthy, and you can, like, you, no matter what, you want to stay away from processed food, you know?
Mm.
So, I mean, but during the day, like, I like to, if I eat a burger, you know, I get a burger, because during the day, I combine a ketogenic diet with some carb backloading.
Uh-huh.
Which I, you know, that's why I told you, like, after working out, I don't eat fats, but, like, boiled chicken and yams. As long as you separate the fats and the carbs at least three to four hours between meals. So let's say during the day you get a burger wrapped in lettuce, no bread, no bun.
Uh-huh.
Like, but, like, somewhere a better place, like, I don't know what they have done. Trying to... Like, here you have Five Guys.
Oh, yeah, we got a Five Guys here. Yeah, we got Five Guys.
Smash Burger. Like, no. they're usually get the, like, meat. It's real meat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to have that during the day, you know, bacon and avocado, like, all the fats you want. I usually then eat something, like, maybe have, like, a couple of fruits if you want to really have them, and then eat, like, yams and chicken and broccoli, and but low fat, no fats anymore. But the ketogenic diet is, like, all the way, like, fats, no carbs, and protein, you know, and really, like, just eating real food. And your hunger, like when I did the 10 days, like, usually I start 10 days ketogenic and then mix it up, but my appetite went, like, I wasn't hungry at all. Once your body changes into ketosis, which means your body uses those ketones for fuel, that's where you are less hungry. You don't crash. That was my problem when I was eating a lot of food, like, frequently.
Yeah.
Like, I needed a nap or two a day.
Yeah.
Just, like, you crash.
Mm-hmm.
But on the ketogenic diet, you don't. So that's why a lot of, and it could work for anybody, you know. And they originally started using it for cancer, you know, for the cancer therapy.
I've had some really good luck with doing a high protein smoothie. My girlfriend fixes for me with protein powder and kale and all these power greens and some organic peanut butter in the mornings, and then we'll add fruit to it and some almond milk.
Yeah.
And I found that holds me over more than, like, two biscuits would, you know, big sausage biscuits or something. I can drink that smoothie and get on about my day with energy and feel fine till, like, 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, like, it's just because you're putting something in your body can do something with it, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't have to spend all its time breaking down all those false compounds and all that. It just burns it.
It's processed food is like if you make a homemade sausage or, like, bratwurst, if it's homemade and everything is fresh and good meat, you know, grass-fed meat, like it's really healthy. But if you buy cheap, like cheap Franks in the store,
yeah,
and it's been like mixed with chemicals and water and processed stuff, like, and maybe 10% is actually meat, then where does your body gonna store it? You know, it's gonna go somewhere into some health issues, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now,
inflammation and stuff.
Are you able to, do you have like some good grocery stores out there in Colorado where you're able to purchase the fresher products or?
Yeah, definitely they have. And also like if you go a little bit outside the city of Denver, like you can find a farmer who sells grass-fed meat. You know?
Oh, cool. So you buy the meat directly that way. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you can go